I think it has.
I love getting home from work and being like, wow, did I really look like that? I didn't notice till you said something, if that helps.
It does help.
Okay.
Yeah, the back was probably worse, and I talked to administrators.
That's fine. They should know how you feel inside as a reflection of how you look outside.
Can I just say one of my APs said the most beautiful thing today? So yesterday, let me not get into the details of this girl because I don't want her to hear it and get mad. So a student did something. We'll leave it at that. And so I told my AP yesterday, I wasn't even planning on telling her, but she was like, hey, how's so-and-so doing? And I was like, funny you ask. I told her the situation and she was like, okay, I'm going to put her in ISS tomorrow. And I was like, period. And then apparently the ISS teacher told me today, they were like, that student is so mad at you. Like she was going off about you, about how you needed to come get her and she shouldn't be in there and all that stuff. And so I went to the I'm not going to come get you when that's what I'm hearing. I went to the AP today and I was like, hey, I just want to let you know, I heard that she's highly displeased about the ISS situation. So I am absolutely going to throw you under the bus. I'm going to tell her that it was not my idea, that it was your idea and I had nothing to do with it. And I freaking love my assistant principal. She goes, thank you. That's what I'm here for. Throw me under any bus and I will stop it.
Honestly, that is beautiful. You need somebody to have your back like that.
She said, put it in drive. I'm ready.
Yeah. She's like, that's exactly in my job description. You don't even worry about a thing. I'm going to take that and handle
She's
it.
Like,
that's beautiful.
Literally, I was like about to cry. I was like, oh my God. Really?
Because like at the end of the day, the relationship with that student, you need that to be more solid than the AP does.
Yes.
You know.
I did not do anything wrong. So I should not be in trouble.
As usual.
I've done nothing wrong ever, actually.
No. Anytime anybody gets mad at you in your comment section, I get so venomous. I just want to like jump through the screen.
I debated sending you one, but I was like, no, she's going to like go way harder than what needs to be got.
I am in a very delicate mental space right now. No, I literally, my blood boils. Whose fucking comment section was I in? Comment section? I have to cut this out. I went ballistic for like 2 days straight.
Yes, I recall this.
I was like, you don't talk about her. Like, keep her fucking name out of your mouth. Anyway, yeah, probably a good thing you didn't send that. Anyways, welcome back to Teacher Quit Talk, you guys. We're talking about career changes today because kind of tis the season
and we're being very on brand today. And so I want to talk about two things. One is people that want to leave education, like where do you go? And then two, like what are growth paths within teaching? Because this is part of the reason I am glad I worked in corporate America. Let me spill a little lore for you. So when I first got my corporate America job, everyone kept saying, like leadership people, like my manager and like all the HR people that hired me, they kept talking about growth paths. And they were like, we promise this role has growth paths. We just did a reorganization. And everyone kept reiterating, like apologizing for the fact that they didn't immediately give me on paper a growth path. And I was like, okay, because I didn't know what that was. So I was like, yeah, man, you're cool. Like, no worries about it. Get it to me when you have it. And then I learned that apparently in real grown-up world where they care about their employees, every job is supposed to have like your organization is kind of supposed to give you like a chart that shows where you are in the organization and what your paths up could look like. And I think no one does that with teaching. And I think teaching is really thought of as like a very stagnant career. Like you get your job as a teacher and you never get promoted or do anything. You are a teacher until your pension is due, or if you were born after 1985, until you just give out and die. Like we just kind of, that was always the plan.
It's absolutely true. Because at my job, we have that too. And I am always asked about where I want to go in teaching. Like, what do you want to do next? Like, what's the next step? And I personally, this is not everybody, obviously, but me personally, I just want to be a really good teacher. Like, I have no intentions of going to intervention or admin or any of the other things we're going to talk about. I just want to be in my room and shut my door and do my shit. I do think I want to collect like certifications like Pokemon. I think that would be kind of fun.
I have such mixed feelings about that.
Tell me.
I kind of like that, but what my fear is I'm terrified to get certified in anything else because I don't want to get forced to teach something besides U.S. history.
Absolutely.
So I'm like, I kind of like only being certified in one thing because then it's like legally you can't make me teach something else.
Totally. I think that I would love to do like early childhood education certification and like some kind of special education thing and bilingual certification. Like I think that would be really cool to like collect in that way. But nobody asks me to do anything because when I'm overwhelmed, it's very, very evident.
I'm the same way.
Like, I'm not the person that's going to like turn on the tears and start crying on purpose, but like it just, it comes out of me.
I hate when people are like, stop crying for attention. I'm like, unfortunately, the attention's making me cry more.
I would love to stop crying.
I'm not doing this.
I do not want to be in this state right now. I actually would rather the earth swallow me whole.
I have this awful thing where like, if I feel overwhelmed or embarrassed and I'm by myself, I can really like be fine and regulate myself. But if I feel overwhelmed and embarrassed and I can tell other people are perceiving me, or God forbid anyone says I'm okay or ask how, like if I'm embarrassed and someone says, don't worry about it, I'm going to start sobbing immediately.
Forget about it. It's over. Yeah.
Like God forbid someone try and console me or be like, oh, you seem a little overwhelmed. Then I will cry.
I would rather somebody make fun of me.
Me too. Because then I could like riff off of you.
Yes.
But when they're like, sweetie, you seem kind of overwhelmed, I'm like, I'm literally fine. Why would you say that?
How dare you perceive me and then try to make me feel better about it? I know. I'm the same way.
Don't do that. Don't piss me off.
Yeah. If you're listening to this, if we're being sensitive on the internet, just make a joke. Please, God.
Just
help.
Be like, haha, loser.
This is so fucking embarrassing of you. Maybe a little softer for me. I need you to like make a better joke than that. That was actually just being really mean to me.
Make a pun. Maybe make a pun. Not make fun of us, but if you make a pun,
yeah,
that is perfect.
Nailed it. So do you want to talk about where you went when you quit? And then I'll talk about where I went when I quit. And then we'll talk about other things.
Yes, I like that idea. So I was actually noodling on this in the shower this morning. I was thinking about it. So when I quit teaching, I went to go work for a real estate brokerage. And the tip that I will have for you, if you are in the education world and you want to get outside of the education world, one, take a deep breath. Two, you need to recalibrate yourself, because in the education world, we are very like, send me your transcripts. What's your degree in? Are you credentialed? Like, we are a very compliance oriented industry. So if you're trying to pivot to a different industry, I know a lot of people are like, oh, my degree is in education, I don't have any other experience. What you need to do is think about industries where a lot of people are in the same boat. So like real estate is a really good industry to get into if you're making a career change, because most real estate agents either didn't go to college or their degree is not in real estate. So even the people that are highly qualified, real estate kind of has like a hustle culture of hiring people with lots of different skill sets. So because even if like the person that you're looking to work for has a degree in real estate management and like is super qualified, they have probably worked with other people who weren't qualified. So they're going to be a lot more open-minded, as opposed to if you wanted to go work in like policy making, that is a very credential compliance heavy field. So they're going to be less willing to overlook the fact that maybe your degree isn't super relevant or things like that. So I was trying to brainstorm like other fields that are kind of, I don't want to say like known for hiring inexperienced people, but other fields that have like a lower barrier to entry and fields that like tend to hire from within and are not as strict or compliance heavy on like your degree and your certifications and all that. So one really good one that I actually know a lot of teachers have gone into is hospitality. A lot of like, trainer positions in hospitality don't require college degrees in hospitality, because a lot of times they hire from within. So because a lot of people that work in hospitality didn't go to college, don't have certain credentials, whatever, a lot of times those organizations are more willing to like value outside experience. And I think that you can really pitch teaching from like the customer service aspect of it. Obviously, we as teachers, like, you're not my customer and I don't care if you're sad. But when like you're in a job interview, you can kind of talk about how you had to deal with like requests from parents, requests from the district, and talk about professionalism. Because I know of a teacher like that I just know in real life who left teaching and she became like, she works in HR for a hotel company. So she makes a lot of like the trainings and things like that. So hospitality is a really good industry that kind of hires lots of different types of people. Another one is the entertainment industry. And the entertainment industry really needs type A people, because most entertainers and artists, honestly, entertainment and art, lots of the creative types are not great with like organization of documents, being compliant with things, keeping track of long-term projects. So if you look for jobs that are like executive assistant, project manager, things that are in the entertainment industry, they're going to be less picky about your degree and your experience, because lots of people in entertainment rise up from other industries because they're talented. And I think in entertainment, honestly, they might view the teaching as a pro, especially in talent management. Because if you can manage a child, you can probably manage a performer.
Yeah, no, for sure. And at least you have like applicable skills that you can like wrangle people, because that's really important. And like being able to be communicative.
Yeah, I think organized. Like the key if you want to leave teaching is really focus on skill jobs and not credential jobs. So unfortunately, this is like the red flag of a job opportunity. But if you're looking to switch industries, you need to put on your rose colored glasses and be willing to overlook some red flags. So like those type of jobs that are like in the job description where it's like, we're looking for a go-getter who wears many hats and things like that. That's why I was able to get out of education, because the job that I got was just like, we did a ton of different stuff and there's really no jobs similar to it. So they were willing to hire people just based on their skills and not like, have you done customer success in the real estate technology field before? Because like, who has?
Right, exactly. I mean, so many jobs that exist these days, especially in the technology space, did not even exist when we were in college. Like, there are very, very new things coming out all of the time. And I'm working in ed tech right now, but I just kind of fell into it because I was scouted from social media. So I was contacted through my manager, who then was like, do you want to do consulting work? And I was like, yeah, I think I would like to do consulting work. And then it just turned into like, I'm on like a month-to-month contract with this company. And it's really been a crazy learning curve. But there are a lot of teachers in the ed tech space who now are like killing it in marketing. Mm-hmm. It's really interesting to see like the teacher to marketing pipeline.
Marketing is another really good one, because getting a degree in marketing is not that popular. So lots of people that work in marketing have outside experience.
I mean, the biggest hurdle for me was like the language barrier of like the jargon in marketing. I'm constantly still Googling things. I don't know what the fuck they're talking about 9 times out of 10. And they'll ask me a question and I'm like, I just have to be honest. I'm like, I don't know what you're saying. I'm a social media girl. Like, I don't know what you're...
So that's a really good lesson I actually learned at the last company I worked for, because, I mean, it's a for-profit company and I'm like pretty anti-capitalism. So obviously, like, I disagreed with some stuff they did. But one thing they did that I really, really liked is on my first day, they gave me a list of acronyms that the company uses. And they were like, we use so many acronyms. It's absolutely ridiculous. If you don't know what one means, don't be embarrassed at all. And they like made it really clear that they use so many, so like, do not be embarrassed to ask, which I think was really good, because when I asked about acronyms that apparently are not company specific, I didn't feel embarrassed to ask that. So like one time, I don't remember what it was, so I'll just use SEO as an example, but like if people are talking about SEO, that means search engine optimization. No one else knows what that means. Don't be embarrassed to Google it or like message a coworker and ask.
No, absolutely. So I have really learned to just ask the questions and to just own the fact that I'm new to the space and like whatever, because nobody cares that much. Yeah. It's not like I'm sitting in meetings unmuting and being like, wait, can you stop and explain that to me? Like I could just... If you don't know, you Google it or you Slack somebody later, and it's really very casual. And you mentioned project manager, which is actually something I had never heard of until I started dating my husband. And that's a good one in general.
Can you explain what a project manager does? Because no. I want to tell people about a customer success person. Do you know what project management is?
Okay, listen, no, not really, but I can explain it the way that I know.
Yeah, explain what you know.
So like the director of the projects will make little projects and you have a person who's in charge of the orchestration and the management and the follow-up afterwards.
And like making sure everybody's hitting their deadlines, the boxes are getting checked. Like they're just overseeing, making sure the things are happening.
Yeah, which I think we're good at as people with an education background.
I think what a lot of teachers are very well suited to project management. And if you are not a techie person, project management also exists outside of technology. Like my old manager used to do like a little bit of project management for our company. And one of the things that she project managed was when our brokerage purchased smaller brokerages, she managed like getting all the agents' licenses transferred over and like the office aspects and the finance aspects. So what project management is not you doing all of those things. It's you keeping tabs on everything so that there's like one person that's communicating across the teams and knows what's going on. So like if you're like, oh, I don't know about finance, you just have a list from, like Fraz said, the project director that's like, this is what finance is doing. Make sure it's done on the day that it's supposed to be done.
Yeah. If you're like me and you feel very intimidated by all of this, there's also people that you can consult with who can help you. Like episode 6, we had Tamika on and her handle is at I am Tamika Shante. And she literally does this. Like she'll take your teaching resume and help you figure out where you fit in best in a different career field. So if it's like something where you're looking for a complete career change, like there are places out there for you. And I actually want to like talk some minor shit because I got a comment the other day that pissed me off. They went back into my TikToks and they found a clip from our podcast from like ages ago. And they were like, so many wasted education degrees and career potential or something. And I completely disagree. Like, I do not think that changing career paths means that you're like wasting a degree or wasting your time or like whatever. I think that we learn so much and there are so many applicable skills that we take from whatever walk of life or whatever career we were a part of. I don't think that learning is just like something you throw out the window and you start from zero. Like, I think there's an inclination for us to feel that way because it's like if you're pivoting or you're doing something different or it's something you didn't even go to school for, like it's easy to say, oh shit, like I really wasted those 4 years or I wasted all that time. I don't agree with that.
I don't think so either.
I didn't even major in education and I feel like I have taken so much shit from the theater world and applied it in education. Like improv, hello. It sounds like such a theater kid, like silly answer, but
it's the truth.
I think I use a ton of shit.
And that's true of any field. Like I feel like the world where it's like, oh, you go to college, you get a job, and then you stay in that field for 30 years. We just don't live in that world anymore. So I think like no matter what degree you have, you're probably going to end up switching around and doing a couple different things.
Absolutely. And I think we should be free to do so because I think like the feeling of burnout is so very real. I want to read you something, actually. I saw this on social media yesterday. Emily Ballesteros wrote a book called The Cure for Burnout, and I saw like a little infographic quote thing, and it had external and internal indicators of burnout. And then it had, burnout isn't a death sentence. It's a tap on the shoulder. Okay, more like a shove to pay attention to your life because something needs to change. And I think that if we are holding ourselves to like the career field that we're in or staying in whatever we got our degree in, like for what? For what, like for real, for what? Unless it's something where it's like you're stuck because like financially or like retirement or whatever, like I get that. That takes a little more work to pivot from. Like it's totally valid. But I just mean in general, a lot of the times it's our own like mental cage that has us thinking we cannot switch. We cannot go somewhere else and do something else. Or like I can't leave and come back. Like it's such a lie that we tell ourselves.
Yeah. I was actually talking about this with my students the other day. Is I was like, you have to make your mind free. Your mind can be the biggest prison and you need to free your mind. If you don't realize that like you are in charge and you have agency, you will never have what you want in life.
That's like the biggest thing that my mom taught me is like anytime I would be like, I have to do X, Y, or Z, she would be like, actually, you don't. There's very few times in my life where she'd be like, you have to. One of the times was when I was super pregnant and I said, I can't do this. And she said, oh, you have to.
That's like literally my biggest nightmare. Because because like the one piece of like stability I have in my life is how I always know that I can just leave. Like in any situation, I can hit the bricks if I don't like it.
Yes, I love
that. Especially with like medical stuff, because I hate the doctor. Mm-hmm. So like I will leave. Like if I feel like you're being disrespectful, I'll leave. But if you're like 10 months pregnant, you can't. You have to stay.
They do encourage that. I have been very lucky that my doctors are very much like, we're going to tell you about the risks of certain things, and you can tell us if you do or do not want to do the next thing. But yeah, I mean, with careers, it's just so rarely like that. I think it's scary too. I think it's such a mental block, like to walk away.
Yeah, it's very scary.
Especially because teaching is such an identity career. It's like, this is who I am, not just what I do.
And I think it's also especially scary to leave teaching if you've never worked outside of teaching, because that's the only environment you know. Like you knew it as a student and now you know it as a teacher, and you just have not been in another environment. But before I forget, I want to also give, we talked about project manager. I want to explain what customer success people do, because I had no idea until I did it. And I think that this is also an awesome job for teachers, especially, this is how I describe like the perfect person that's good at customer success, which I think that I was. Someone that is good at using technology, but is not like a tech person. Like if you know the shit out of Google Drive, but you don't know how to code at all, and you don't know why Google Drive works, you just know how it works, you're a good customer success person. Because customer success is basically like, so let's say I own a company and Fraz owns Google Drive. Good for you. You're a billionaire. So my company will buy a Google Drive license from Fraz, and Fraz has a little employee that I call anytime I'm having a problem with Google Drive, or maybe I just need to learn how to do something. So like, that's what I did for the real estate brokerage, because they had their own technology. So like, when the agents were like, how do I upload a PDF? I would be like, you click the button that says upload, and then you drag it there. So customer success people are kind of like tech educators in a way, because you're making sure that the client is like able to use your product. And then this is the part that I think teachers are really good at, is being able to relay information between groups of people, because teachers are used to taking very confusing things from the government and explaining it to literal children. So what happens a lot in customer success is like a customer will be like, why can't the website do this? I need this. Or there will be like a glitch or a bug or something. And the tech people that work inside the company that are terrified of the customers, they don't want to talk to them. So they explain what's going on to you in very confusing technology people language. And then you explain it to the customer in a way that doesn't sound as bad. And I think that that role is really good for teachers, because you, like I said, you kind of have to have multiple hats on, and you have to be good at like delivering bad information to people in a way that makes it seem not as bad, which you have to do at school all the time.
Yes, literally. I just think the reframe is so valid. But I do think the way that even we discuss teaching, I mean, I've heard it a million times with kindergarten, where it's like, oh, I bet you just count and color all day. And it's like, no, I don't. And
I'm fighting for my life in this bitch.
Yeah. And I have so many what they would call stakeholders, because parents are very much stakeholders in their child's education, and especially so at the kindergarten level. And you're working with teams, you're working across teams, you're planning a lot of shit and managing a lot of stuff.
You mentioned Tanika, who is on episode 6, who does resumes. Getting a resume professionally done for you is the best fucking money you will ever spend in your life. I for years refused to do this because I am good at writing resumes. I have helped a million children with their resumes. I have helped my friends with their resumes. I think it's a skill that I'm good at, but it's so hard to do it for yourself. And the problem that I run into when trying to do it for myself is I feel the need to be very clear and very literal, because I'm trying to explain what I do. And I'm really bad at like pitching myself. I'm really good at pitching other people, because I'm like, girl, you're doing way more than that. Like, let's put more on here. But with my own work, it's hard to like zoom out and realize how much I'm doing. So I hired a resume writer. I did not hire our lovely guest, because this was at a different point when I was not leaving education. I was already out. And I hired a resume writer, and she did an awesome job. And the thing that she did that was great, so if you hire someone, get them to do this, she asked me to send her multiple jobs that I was interested in so she could tailor my resume to fit the industries I was looking at. This whole process ended up leading to me having a mental breakdown and deciding to go back to teaching. But that being said, it was the best resume I've ever had, and she did a great job. I just had a mental breakdown because after reading it, I was like, God, that sounds so fucking boring. And I realized that I really hated working for a corporation.
No, it's really valid. And like, I think when we take a step back and we like are out of the burnout fog, it's also very easy to see like what you like and what you don't.
Yes.
When I was so burnt out, there was a point where I was like, I want to do either nothing or something totally, totally different. And then once I got there, I was like, you know, maybe I just needed to work at a different school. Maybe that school just wasn't it for me. Maybe I need to switch grade levels. Maybe I need to switch, like, with the other thing we want to talk about in this episode is switching careers within education. Maybe you want to be a reading interventionist. You could go and get a special education certification or supplemental credential. There's just so many things that you could do, but it's so hard to see it when you're in the literal fucking trenches. You're in survival mode.
When it feels like you're drowning, the last thing you want is to be near more water. But like once you get out of that, a couple days later, you might be like, oh, I am kind of thirsty. You know what I mean? Like when you're in the burnout zone, you cannot formulate a single fucking thought. So that's why you should be paying someone to do your resume and take a little break, get yourself a little more clarity on your situation, because you really just can't see clearly when you're under that amount of stress.
So this is from the Dial Press and Emily Bruth's collaborative post on Instagram. It says, internal indicators of burnout, emotional exhaustion, cynicism or pessimism, detachment or dissociation, feeling drained before your day or tasks begin, anxiety before and about work, loss of motivation, impaired concentration and attention, and feeling ineffective. Then there's external indicators that are physical exhaustion, insomnia, forgetfulness, isolation, escapism, using distractions such as media or hobbies to escape reality. I would argue also the joke of like enrichment time in your enclosure if you're sitting in your car dissociating and staring at the wall. That's an indicator that maybe I take a mental health day because I'm not feeling my best.
Maybe let's do a check-in. Maybe let's, you know, try out like a meditation or something.
Like the quote kind of said, it's like a tap on the shoulder, if not a shove. But continuing, increased irritability, lowered immunity, procrastination, changes in food, drug, or alcohol use, or persistent physical pain. It's like a 17 magazine quiz. How many did you get?
Does 17 magazine still exist?
I don't know, but I hope so.
I'm going to Google it. I did see that they recently got very political, and I mean that positively. Like when I was reading 17 magazine, it was like, you have pimples and boys hate you. But now I was reading it and it was like, we must overthrow. And I was like, hell yeah.
I love that somebody was like just throwing balls to the wall.
I was like, back in my day, you had Target bathing suit guides about body type.
Oh my God. So that magazine really did a number on me. Anyways.
Teen Vogue was also less than ideal.
Oh, they all were. Every single thing that was printed into a magazine, I have notes. Move up in education? Like, do you want to become a principal or something?
I would rather do anything than be a principal. Actually, that's a lie. I would be a principal if I wasn't actually a principal. It was more of like a czar of like an independent school. I do have a dream of one day, I have like a vision, there's a Google Doc about it, of opening a school that's like a alternative school specifically for teen parents, so it also has childcare on site. So I would like to be the principal of that because I would just be in charge. I don't want to be principal like normally because I don't want to talk to the government and I don't want to talk to upset parents. Especially, I never want to have to like not be on the teacher's side. And sometimes principals, unfortunately, like when the teacher's in the wrong, the teacher's in the wrong. And I just don't want that to be my job. And that's kind of why part of the reason why I wanted to do this episode, because I've been thinking, I was like, I'm really happy in my job right now, but just like because of money, I need more money later in my life. So like eventually I don't want to like die in my classroom. So eventually I do like want to kind of move up in the world. But that's what I was thinking, like with teachers, the kind of routes you have are like, do you want to be an administrator? No. What else can you do? So I have some lists from the internets that I found.
Amazing.
This is from the University of Texas at Austin College of Education. This is their career paths for teachers page. So again, a lot of organizations will not give you a career path if you are a teacher, but the University of Texas appears to have this on lock. Also, apparently a lot of schools are shutting down their education departments. I'm pretty sure we talked about that though. So
just like, so scary.
So they have a couple different options for these are kind of career paths that are still within education. And I think within education, what I mean is like you are working for an education provider, like a district or a college or something like that. To me, I view working in ed tech as more working in tech than education because you're working in like
100%.
A corporate for-profit environment. And I think the norms are just really different.
Yes.
Or even for like a textbook company. Like I, when I'm saying working in education, I mean working for a provider of education, not a vendor to education. So they have a couple. One is mentor or master teachers. I don't know if that's a real thing. I've never heard of that. So we're going to move on from that to instructional specialist. This is the one route that I could see myself going. An instructional specialist, they do a lot of work on curriculum and planning. So like most schools only or most districts only have this for ELA and math. So I have never worked with these people super hands-on. Actually, that's a lie. In my old district, I did have a instructional specialist. So my instructional specialist at my old district would like make little games about the content and then bring them to my classroom so I could play them with the kids. That's something I think that could be interesting. And I think I know someone who actually does this. So someone that they're not physically in the classroom with their own class working every single day, but they're making resources for teachers. Like a lot of times I see instructional specialist, it's like math K through five. So you're not, you don't have your own classroom, but you're still doing a lot of planning and instructionally adjacent things. Another one is the big obvious one, move into administration, like principal, superintendent, whatever. But one job that a lot of people do not know exist is data analyst within schools. So teachers that are just like really fucking good at Excel. Ooh. Most districts have multiple data analysts that their whole job is to analyze test scores and other data that the school has around attendance and lots of things. And their job is to look for patterns and things like that. So again, like you probably at that job, you're not even in a school. You're probably at a district office looking at spreadsheets. You probably haven't seen a kid in months.
I did not know that existed.
Yeah. And they pay pretty high. Some districts hire consultants to do it and pay them like literally $1 million. I've also seen districts have a full-time person that just does it for them. And it usually pays pretty well depending on where you live. I've seen it be like in New York, it's really high. But in most areas, it's like it can be up to like 80, 90 grand.
Wow, that's really good.
And a lot of data analysts, there's a lot of certifications online about it. Like I don't even think you can get a college degree in data. I don't know. But like if you are a teacher and you're fucking miserable and you're good at Excel and you want to do this, you can take little like those LinkedIn courses and like Google certifications and stuff like that to be an actual data analyst. I might be wrong. I don't work in HR, but I feel like a school district would rather hire a teacher to analyze the data than like a data analyst from like Verizon, because I think it's easier to analyze data when you understand what you're looking at.
And I think also understanding like relevant ways that you could group the data that would help provide the most insight to the people who are going to be using it. That would make me cry just like to look at Excel all day.
I could never do that job. But I know some teachers who like are that way.
Yeah, same.
You know, especially at the high school level, like the teachers that teach like the computer science and stuff like that. Also, I'm fucking crying at this. One of the bullets literally just says lawyer.
So you would go back for like education law?
Yeah, I guess. It says there are careers outside of schools and universities that can have a significant influence on education policy and society at large. Work for government agencies on education policy or nonprofits that do like lobbying and stuff. And one of the options is lawyer. Go to law school. That seems really unachievable for most people.
I know people who have.
I'm not saying it's impossible.
I couldn't do it, but good on you if you can.
There's also, this job only exists in like bigger districts, but what I think would be super fun, and I was mad no one was hiring for it at the times I was looking for jobs, is a lot of districts have a person who it's their job to find visitors to come to the school. So to find like nonprofits or like the anti-drug groups and like coordinate those people. That seems very cool to me.
I never thought about it, but that would totally be something you would have to have that.
Because like you have to do like the safety visitor stuff for everybody. You have to make sure it's approved. You have to do the parent permission slips. You have to like make sure they're not going to do anything weird when they get to the school.
And even though I think our front office staff would do that, I'm sure the district has somebody that delegates that.
Yeah. Because my old district did have this person. They just, that job wasn't available when I wanted it. And the way it worked there is like, if your school wanted someone to come, that was your own problem. Figure it out. Make sure it's not like a murderer. But the district also partnered with different organizations and brought those people in. So like that lady brought in two people from the Department of Health and they came and did like a sex ed class for the whole school. And they came to every single high school. So like she took them to a different school every day. So like that seems like a really cool career to me, to like create those district initiatives and like partner with other people. And if you've been a teacher, you're going to actually know what the good ones are and not have like, oh my God, like my cousin, she sent me a picture of one at her school and there was this guy doing skateboard tricks and talking about how they shouldn't use drugs.
I love that assembly and the BMX bike assembly, my favorite assemblies.
And she literally sent me like a little Instagram, how like Instagram turned into Snapchat. So you can do that on there now. And she was like, the skateboarders will not stop me from bullying my peers. And I was like, shut the fuck up. I'm so over you.
They have no power over me. Oh, that's hilarious.
So like if you were a teacher, you would know that the skateboarders will not stop the bullying. And maybe we should approach that differently.
I think that would be really cool to like organize all the stuff. And those visitors that come through, I always have wondered where they came from. Like, do we scout
like,
them out
job?
Or do they scout us out? Like, yeah.
Like, who, like, are, who you? Are you guys? Do you ever get
They're
nervous?
Like, oh, we have visitors today.
Our visitors are coming on Friday. Everyone's very stressed about it.
And you could always become a district person.
I love watching kids interact with those people because the people always look so violently uncomfortable that a child is talking to them. And it's so, so, so funny to me. What's even funnier is the rare occasion where those people approach the child, because the child never likes it. They're always very taken aback.
Oh my gosh. I remember when I was student teaching and I was teaching math and all the suits came in and started inexplicably bending down and trying to help all of the kids with their math homework.
Immediately, no.
And first of all, it was common core multiplication. So it was like groups of, which is, if you know, you know. But they had no clue what the lingo was for multiplication in third grade. And all of my kids were looking up like, what the fuck are you talking about? They were like, that's not what teacher said. Do you have more? Or is that all she wrote?
A big thing that keeps coming up, but I've never worked in this, so I don't have a ton to say, is doing public services. So like working in government offices. So like if you're a teacher and that's really not jiving with you, apparently like going to work for like the Department of Health, the Department of Transportation, like they have lots of administrative jobs. And apparently they really like to hire teachers, which makes sense because they know that a teacher already knows how to be compliant with government entities. So if you just want a job that you really don't care about, but pays your bills and gives you health insurance, can I recommend to you state, local, or federal government? Like, are you going to have the time of your life? No, but you probably will be done with your work every day at 5 and get a livable wage and health insurance.
The health insurance is nice. The pension is nice. That's the thing. We do get that as teachers. And if that's really important to you, that's probably a good direction to go.
And a lot of times it varies by state, but occasionally in some states, and a lot of teachers don't even realize this is the case, the teacher pension program is the same thing. Like, you're not actually in a teacher pension program, you're in a state employee pension program. So a lot of times you might think you're stuck in teaching because of your pension, but you might be able to just get a different state government job. and keep your pension.
That's a good point. I didn't really know that.
Yeah, it varies a lot by state. Everyone does it really, really differently. So it could be wrong if in certain places. But in some states, the teacher retirement system and the state government employee retirement system are the same system. Like in Florida, my thing, it was like, I don't remember what it was called, but I know that like state employees had the same little portal and stuff, and you could like transfer it between orgs within that same portal. Some of these lists are so fucking unserious though. Like imagine, I'm just imagining someone that's like at their lowest in teaching and they're Googling trying to find another job, and the fucking Guardian in all seriousness suggested circus performer. That's so rude. Like, why would you say that to me right now?
That is not even remotely close to the same thing.
And it says this article is more than seven years old, but still, like, who the fuck wrote that? I'm mad at you for writing that.
Yeah.
Circus performer. Be for real.
On what
this is from
planet?
2016.
That is crazy.
The other options were decent. Apparently, insurance claim handler is a very good job, because that's another one. That industry, lots of people come from different places. Insurance. Just look at Vicki Gunvalson from Real Housewives of Orange County. Work for her.
I don't know that reference, but I believe you.
She's this woman on Real Housewives of Orange County. She owns her own insurance brokerage, and like she was on that show to make it a commercial. Yet somehow she's like one of the longest standing housewives in history. And I saw that someone added her on LinkedIn to see if she would accept. And they got an auto message from her that was like, thanks for reaching out. What insurance products could I interest you in?
That's amazing.
So she seems like a girl boss, and I bet she would hire you because she would recognize a hustle.
Real recognizes real, as they say.
But yeah, insurance, add that to our list. So what were the places we said that's good for people that like don't have a ton of experience? Like real estate, arts and entertainment, insurance, hospitality, food and beverage, any of those kind of industries. They're more like, what can you do?
Right.
And less of like, what did you score on your blah, blah, blah?
Or like, how many years have you worked?
Are you truly passionate about... What's like a boring ass job? Are you passionate about business to business customer technology implementation? Do you have experience in that? Get away from those people. Those people are not going to hire you and they're not your people.
You're going to be bored out of your skull. You're going to be on Slack crying.
Also, another hot tip. Not all Slack messages are private. So if you are a teacher and you get a job when you use Slack, other people can see those, unfortunately.
Just assume that they can see everything.
Because I don't really understand how that works to this day.
It's a big mystery to me. And I use it every
day. I want
day.
My school to have Slack, though. I feel like it would be very helpful. So Slack, for anyone that doesn't know, Slack is kind of like a group chat, but even better than a group chat that a lot of companies buy, because you can make different group chats for different things. So you can have like a transactions one, and it's better than a group chat because in Slack you can like send files and like long ass messages, and you can search old stuff. So like I know a lot of charter schools, I think KIPP uses Slack. They have like the school-wide channel, and then they have like an emergency channel where everyone's in it, but only admin can post in there. So that's where they post like schedule change, fire drill at this time, like super important stuff. And then every grade level has their own channel. And then teachers can make channels with each other. So like if you just have friends that you share stuff with. And I just think it would be very helpful. And I just really hate Outlook.
I know. Outlook is such trash. We use GChat.
I had one customer at my old job that would always use GChat, but he was the only one that did. And he would get mad I didn't reply. And I was like, my brother in Christ, no one else here is using GChat. Like, email me.
I always get the notifications lost. I can't find them.
Yeah.
They just go somewhere to die. And then I, weeks later, would be like, oh shit, they somebody just wanted to talk to me. Whoopsies.
I will say that's one of the things I love most about teaching is that I don't get that many notifications per day. It's like a couple emails and usually a couple remind messages. But I just remember when literally like it was in corporate and I would be replying to someone's email and I would get three other emails while I was replying. And I was like, can y'all just fuck off? Like literally, can I have one goddamn minute? Anything else you want to share with the people about jobs?
No. I just know that you're going to get the paper in your mailbox soon if you haven't already saying, are you returning for next year? And a lot of us spent a lot of time thinking about which box we were going to check. And even if you lie and check yes and you're still thinking about it, that's fine. We just wanted to give you some ideas and let you know that you're never stuck. So don't feel stuck.
I want my paper. My paper's delayed.
Damn it.
They said I can't have it till April 15th.
Oh, beautiful.
Have a great day at work, everyone.
We love you guys.
If you decide you don't want to work there, just know that Applebee's is always hiring.
Think of the free food you're going to get every day. Love you. Bye-bye.